Thank you, and thank you for your flexibility tonight with the schedule. I feel like I'm crossing the state back and forth, and I'm glad I could work out. Name is Nate Alderman. I was the engagement principal, have done for several years on the township's audit. Used to do the audit before I was engagement principal, back when I was a manager, that kind of stuff. So tonight, I just want to kind of walk through a couple of things, point out a couple of things in the audit report, just where you can find different things, but feel free at any time to interrupt if you have any questions. But I'll try to get through this quickly just so you can see where things are at. So the audit report, if you go to the found financial statements on page one, I have to point this page out because it's technically the only part of the report that's ours. This is the independent auditor's report. The report is laid out to kind of explain what the responsibilities are for the parties involved. So there's a paragraph in there on management's responsibility for the financial statements. And I always like to emphasize the fact that these financial statements are the responsibility of management, are the township's responsibility, and you are responsible then for having internal controls in place to make sure that the information is presented correctly and to make sure that there aren't errors or fraud or anything like that. Our responsibility then is to come in, perform the audit in order to provide an opinion. Our responsibility isn't actually to give you comments. Our responsibility under standards isn't to look for findings, but we are required under those standards if we come up with something in the course of our procedures that does raise to a certain level, we're required to report those things to you. I'm happy to say we didn't have any findings this year. Very clean audit in terms of that. The actual opinion, though, is on page two, and the opinion paragraph there indicates that the financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects. Basically, it's considered to be an unmodified or a clean opinion, and I'd like to say it basically tells you that you can rely on the information that's in the report. So I do, want to make it clear, we did assist in drafting these, but there were controls in place to make sure that information was correct. So I will say this year, having Angie back to help, in the transition with Susan, I mean, it helped a lot, having that throughout the process. So the financial statements themselves, there's lots of information. There's a management's discussion analysis. There's the government-wide statements themselves, though, start on page 13. I know a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to those, but this is your full accrual financial statements that are required under the standards. So this has been around for a long time now. These statements and are presented more like a business puts all of your assets on your balance sheet and your liabilities. Where the general fund if you turn to page 16, the way the general fund is presented, there's not capital assets recorded as assets. When you spend the money, it actually reduces your fund balance when you spend your money on a capital asset and such. So you'll see there towards the bottom of the page in the first column, your total fund balance was $4.9 million. That is broken down between several different levels. There's non-spendable, very small amount. There's a restricted amount that has specific outside restrictions outside of the government. And then there's two different categories, committed and assigned, which are levels that are either specific where the board has made the decision that the money is going to be committed for a specific purpose, and then assigned is money where it's more by those that you've given the authority to assign the money. It's then set aside for those purposes. There's actually a footnote that if you go to page 43, there's a footnote that breaks down what all those different commitments and assignments are for in the audited financial statements. So then the unassigned fund balance, those that don't have any, the money's not spoken for whatsoever, is the $1,339,000. The other statements, if you go to page 20, you have the budget to actual statements for the general fund. It's a good place to look to just kind of see what happened during the year. The first column is the original budget, so what it's what would have been adopted prior to the beginning of fiscal year 2018. And that's on page 20 and 21. So you can see there that the original budget, if you look way down towards the bottom, that net change in fund balance was budgeted $131,000. The final budget, with all amendments through the end of the year, was showing a reduction of fund balance of $369,000, and then your actual results were better than that. You actually increased fund balance slightly by $90,000. So, but this is a good statement to look at to kind of see what you approved compared to what actually happened. And then the statements on page 22 starts your statements on the sewage disposal fund and the water extension fund. Nothing specific really to point out there, other than this is where you can see what the balances are. It includes, you know, the reporting on these funds is done on full accrual, more like a business because of the type of funds they are. And so that does have all your capital assets related to the water and sewer included, as well as long-term debt.
It's important to point out when you're talking about, one, the township does not own its water lines, but how it's often confused that when the sewer lines show up as an asset to the township, it's not something you can sell. So
right.
Although the accounting now requires, or when it changed almost 7-8 years ago, it requires you to show that the dollar amount in it is an asset. So sometimes that's confusing and people think that's money in the account. It's not, I mean, it's the value of the sewer lines that you, who are you gonna sell them to?
Yeah, I mean,
you can't, they
right.
really have no value.
Right, the concept is that you have assets under accounting. You know, you record an asset because you're going to use it over in the future, so it gets expensed over that future as it's being used, as you actually get the benefit for it over those periods. Because when you actually purchase it originally, you don't get any benefit until you hook it up and you actually start using it. So
there's not actually $8 million sitting in
no.
the sewer fund.
No.
Yeah.
So, and then and just go to page 26, just because this is one of those pages that will look different in the future. There's a new standard out for fiduciary activities, called GASB 84, where they're taking a lot of things out that we're in and requiring some additional statements. There's actually going to be an income statement for the agency fund now, and it's, you know, just more work for auditors and accountants to figure out how they want to do things. So, but we will be working with the township on that. The footnotes. Just trying to flip through, see if there's anything specific here. Nothing other than, I mean, I think one of the things you pointed out, the note 17, but there's a lot, you know, the footnotes just have a lot more detailed information on what's in the rest of the report. So, nothing else in the report that I really wanted to highlight. Just to tell you what this is a separate independent or auditor's communication with those terms of governance. This is, you know, required communications that we make with you under the standards. So we put it out on paper. There's nothing negative that's in it. So where we had to change the language to put something in. So it's kind of a standard thing that you can review, but nothing exciting in that. There is an attachment, A, if you're really ready to punish yourself. You can read this and see what all the different standards that are changing, you know, this little bit of explanation on 84 that's out there that you'll need to, that you could look at if you wanted to. So, so anybody have any questions or
anything at all? If not?
So when you audited the township, how do we fare compared to others?
In terms of, I mean, I look at it in two different ways. There's a question that people ask of how did we fare. I mean, it's clean. I mean, no findings is very good.
Financially,
it's a harder question, honestly. I mean, it's because it's all, I always look at it as, it's kind of like the fund balance policy. What percentage should you have of fund balance? Well, the answer is different for everybody that I talk to. It's all about the priorities of the government, of what they want to spend, how much risk they feel like they have, so how much money that they have to hold on to. I mean, in general, when I look at your total fund balance, it's healthy for what you, for what you're doing. I mean, for what's happening right now. If you have other things that you want to do for planning, that are gonna take that away, then that's where it becomes an issue when you decrease fund balance. If you have big projects that are gonna cost lots of money, that can dwindle down fairly quickly, and you don't have a great means of raising more money other than doing a bond issue or doing a new tax levy, those types of things. So.
Very good. Anyone else, any questions? Or, yes.
The April investments were over $8 million. That's on the investments in banks. I don't know if you got there.
The investment footnote?
I don't know if you get a footnote, but.
There's a footnote on what's on all the deposits and investments on page 33 that breaks down all the different cash and investments.
Okay. Now, a lot of them banks that they're invested in, there's more than $250,000 in the banks. So is that protected by FDIC?
You're only protected for a government. That's actually weird. Governments are different than everybody else, but you're protected depending on the type of deposit. So if it's time versus demand, you could be up to $500,000 per bank. But it's all, you know, most of my governments have a significant amount that's not insured, because the amount of effort to try to manage that cash, to have it in all those different banks, is difficult. And I think you do have a significant amount that is in certificates of deposit that you use the, I can't remember if it's the CDRS program or through MBS. You use MBS, don't you?
MBS, yeah.
MBS that does MBS. Some of that investing for you, splitting it up between the banks so that you have more FDIC insurance
yes.
coverage. So there is a lot of that when you look in there. But if you look at the bottom of page 33 of the bank balance, $6.3 million was exposed to risk. But you know, that's the type of thing. What we encourage our clients to do is make sure that you're assessing those risks of those banks that you have and the security that you have in those banks, and making a determination of whether those banks are at risk of collapsing, which it doesn't happen that often. And so you can do a good assessment. That's the important part of doing it. But the standards still require that disclosure be made.
So you meant to say 2 million.
So you're saying that we could
yes,
be insured up to 500,000. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
We could be insured up to 500,000.
Depending on the type, yeah. But you would have to have, I mean, when you have $6 million, you'd have to break that up between that many different banks to get to that level.
Well, we got $8 million, and that's in 12 different institutions. They aren't all banks. I'm not sure quite what some of them are. But that's what
there's
the investment is.
There's, if I may, there's your traditional bank. There's a liquid pool fund
yeah.
that is asset-backed, and that's why that one is so good that, you know, it's not FDIC insured, but it is an asset-backed pool. So. It's secure.
And there are, point that out again.
Right. I misread the footnote.
Thank you.
There's 2 million of the deposits, because you have money that's in what's considered deposits, and then you have money that's invested, like
exactly.
She's talking about, that's considered investments. And those are the things like the Michigan class that we see
right.
a lot of our clients invest in, and then there's U.S. agencies, those types of things.
We have,
invest
yeah.
in as well.
You know, we have government bonds.
So,
I don't think the government bonds, I'm not really sure. I always felt that government doesn't insure themselves.
They have credit ratings. However,
you know, the common theme is that if you've got an investment with the United States government and they fail on it, you've got a bigger problem, because the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. And you better believe it. When the government defaults on their investing opportunities, you've got a bigger problem to worry about.
So
it, even though it is not FDIC insured, it is considered one of the safest investments that you can get.
And the state of Michigan only allows those very safe investments as
Correct.
A part of the law.
Correct.
You have to have an investment policy, and you only have a small list of things that they allow for you to invest in to make sure that you're not going out and risking
right.
taxpayer money, that you can get a little bit of, that's why rates of return aren't great, because
mm-hmm.
You're investing in those lower rate, low risk investments.
Well, that's another question. How much are you getting? What percentage are you getting on that money? Do you know?
It's in the investment report, and the lowest, without looking at the investment report, is 1.5, and that is one of the government bonds. You know, for a little bit there, rates were like at 3%, and I was able to get some of those 3% on record. Some of the lower rates, like the 1.5, when I took that out, that was a very good rate. But maybe it was a 5-year rate, and so, you know, it held good for a while. Then rates started increasing, so now it looks bad. But for probably 2/3 of the life of that investment, it was a great rate. And we did really good with that. I did really good.
Well, what about the ones that we got, like 500,000? Is that a good rate, or is that, what percentage is that?
I have to look at each individual one.
This is not to be
sure. Need to sort of stay on the audit here.
Oh, this is part of the audit.
Well, it's not really part of the audit.
How come you guys don't like to talk about this money that we got? That's my money. That's part of my money. I want to talk about it.
That might be something that we can talk about as a item on the agenda.
Yeah.
As opposed to the audit, because okay. It is really different than the audit.
Okay, whatever.
It really is.
Okay.
But as Nate had said, investing is difficult to keep insured because of the quantity that we have. And also, and you know, you think about all the banks that we would have to look at. So what most people do is they tend to invest with higher tiered banks, higher quality banks, larger banks. And when they start to fail, you're going to know that, because they're not going to happen overnight. They're going to happen very slow, and you're going to know that. Treasurers like to talk, and if a top tier bank is failing, if it goes through the treasurer world like a wildfire, it just shoo, you know it, and people start bailing.
Okay.
They start pulling that money back home where it's nice and safe.
You say pulling it back home, where are you
going to
put it?
Back home here to the township, we just bring it right back.
But where are you going to put it?
That's an issue. You start shopping for a better bank. And here's another thing I'll tell you. This is point in time, December 31st, 2018. Is that correct, Nate?
Yeah.
Money in the banks, December 31st, 2018. One of the things that happens in my department between mid-December and the end of December is we get a lot of tax payments. We get a tremendous amount of tax payments. So it's not really a fair representation of what we normally have, because in like 2 weeks, millions of dollars is going out. I'm dispersing that money to the schools, to the libraries, to the county. It's not really our money, but for that little bit of time, it is on our books.
Mr. Ron.
Over this past year, we had a couple of meetings where we went over every investment of the township in detail at the board. And we went over all of them. So it's something that we can do. And we can have that as an agenda item, and Janice can go over them. But
in every single board packet, the treasurer has the opportunity, and normally it's there every month, the treasurer has an investment report as well as a schedule of investments. That details every single month exactly where the money is at and exactly what the percentage rate of return is on that particular investment. So this is not something that is hidden in any way, shape, or form. Our board packets are online, so even if you don't want to come in here and look at the hard paper copy, you can look at these reports online, and they will tell you exactly what institution our money is invested in, what the amount is, and what the rate of return is.
I realize that. My point is, how much is our budget to run for 1 year? Why are we hanging on to so much money? You'd be better off it investing that in the township. There's things in this township that you could invest it in, and it should be invested in.
Well,
that's my
not
opinion.
Related to
as a taxpayer.
Thank you for your opinion. Yep. Thank you for your report.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you all. There's no further comments on this topic.
I'd like to make a motion to accept and place on file the 2018 audit report.
Good job.
Is there support?
Support.
Move and support in my room under pass. Any discussion? Hearing none? All in favor say aye.
Aye.